Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we're coming live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us on the Target Demo Friday. Let us know how you're listening, where you're at, and what you're doing. And I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. You can let me know all of that important information by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Or going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. What a weekend on CBS when it comes to the NFL slate. There are so many big games this weekend. Saints and Seahawks is a CBS game. Steelers, Niners, CBS game. Texans, Chargers, CBS game. Jets, Patriots, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Falcons, Colts. What a lineup. And on that very important Atlanta-Indianapolis game is a good friend of ours. Catch all of the action this Sunday, starting with that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Andrew and Catalan joining us this morning on the show. Mr. Catalan, good morning. How are you?
Target Demo Friday, DA. Happy to be with you, bud.
It is always great to have you here on the show, and this Falcons team desperately needed that Sunday night win over the Eagles because Dan Quinn has some heat on him at this point in time. What did the Falcons find out about themselves after a very tough time that was the opening weekend?
Oh, yeah, they really needed that win, DA, on Sunday night against the Eagles. They look awful week one. In Minnesota, Dan Quinn was the first one to point that out. And, you know, I love the way they dug down deep and got it done late against Philly. You got to like that from an Atlanta perspective. Fourth down, Julio Jones takes one to the house. If that one got away from them and Philly found a way to come back, that would have been a really tough 0-2 start now going on the road to take on the Colts. It's their home opener, too, here in Indy. I think they're going to be pretty fired up to get it rocking. So, no, look, I think that early in the season, you have some of these games where you're like, oh, I'm going to learn about something today about these teams. And I think that's what this game is here in Indianapolis on Sunday. I mean, Indianapolis, came back, beat Tennessee last week. Now they're coming home. They played well week one at the Chargers, lost in overtime. What are they going to be? And Atlanta, which team is going to show up? The one that came back and beat Philly or the one that got knocked around against Minnesota week one? So I think it's going to be an interesting one here on Sunday on CBS.
I know the Colts fans were obviously really upset when Andrew Luck decided to retire, but Jacoby Brissett has been there for the last couple of years. There's a thread of consistency between the quarterback position now that Jacoby is in there. Are the Colts comfortable with Jacoby at this point in time being the guy under center to help try to lead them to a postseason berth?
Yeah, there's no question that when Andrew Luck retired, you look at Jacoby Brissett and you're like, well, now what do we have? And what you have is a guy that started 15 games 2 years ago, who's the backup to Luck last year, and is a guy that's very confident in his ability. And all summer, all offseason, he worked with the first team offense in Indianapolis because Andrew Luck wasn't out there on the field. So I really believe that Frank Reich has positioned Jacoby Brissett to really lead this Indianapolis team on a nice little run this year. I love Frank Reich. I love his aggressiveness. I love the way he calls plays. I think he's really one of the more underrated coaches in the NFL. And for Jacoby Brissett to have a guy like that who's his head coach and calling the plays, I think Brissett's very fortunate. And there's so many pieces here for the Colts that I think Brissett's in a great position to succeed.
Andrew Catalan joins us from the NFL on CBS. He has got Falcons and Colts this weekend. Last weekend, you had the great Gardner Minshew in a thriller in Houston. Now, this is kind of interesting because when Nick Foles goes down, I think most people say, well, nobody cares about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yet, here is Minshew leading his team to a win last night. When you spoke to him, when you did the game last week, what was your sense, your thumbnail on a guy that's kind of become a bit of a viral sensation?
Well, first of all, I think your dad had a better mustache back in the day than Minshew, but that may have passed now. I think this Gardner Minshew has overtaken your dad and has the best mustache out there.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, he's not afraid. This kid is carefree. And you know Doug Marrone from coaching at Syracuse and now being in the NFL. He's all, like Doug Marrone, it's like the opposite. It's Doug Marrone is this buttoned up New York guy, and now you got this guy, you know, working out in a jock strap, stretching and wearing a mustache and just doesn't care. He doesn't care what other people think. And that carefree attitude has led to some really good football these last 3 weeks since he came in for Nick Foles. And some of those passes last night, you're like, whoa, all right, maybe we got something here. But I can just tell you from meeting with him last week, he's got a great attitude. He's not scared. He wants to go out there and make plays and just have fun. And I think that's really going to help Jacksonville here without Nick Foles. We already saw it last night. And I think that this kid has a chance to really stick around for a while.
Week one, you had the enormous blowout by the Ravens over the Dolphins, and now they go to Josh Rosen, and most people predicting the Dolphins to be 0-16. I mean, totally just a piggish type of season for a Dolphins team that had some type of hope that maybe they were building something coming into the season. When you look at the Dolphins going to Josh Rosen, do you think that is a good idea with how bad the supporting cast is for him?
Look, you got to feel bad for Josh Rosen, the way that the beginning of his NFL career has worked out. Who knows? I mean, look, they're tanking, in a sense, to get another quarterback. So he's not going to be their guy. So to me, why not? Why not try to play him, see if you have something to get his trade value up? As you pointed out, it looks like it's going to be a really long year in Miami. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy that, you know, look, he's not a part of their future plans, and they're not going to get anything for him, really. If anything, if you're Miami, let's try to get Rosen's trade value up so we can, you know, get something for him like they've done already with so much of their team in the last couple months. So I don't mind the Rosen move. I think he might have a rough go. That offensive line's not very good, and they don't have a lot of weapons to really, you know, help out Rosen, but to me, why play Fitzpatrick at this point? I mean, we know where they're headed. Just play Rosen and see what you have, and maybe somebody else will put the chance on him next year, assuming Miami goes after a quarterback in the draft.
Right. Finally, in that game, Lamar Jackson really opened it up, and we had seen his legs all throughout last season. People expected more of that, obviously, coming into this season. He torched the Dolphins secondary like steak on the grill. I mean, it was just out there the entire day. It was a brilliant aerial performance by Lamar Jackson. Does that send a message to the rest of the NFL that Lamar is far more two-dimensional than I think most people gave him credit for?
Yeah, he burned him, D.A. I mean, he just kept grilling him over and over again. And what really impressed me were the throws he made. It wasn't a gimmicky type offense where, you know, yes, they're doing different things than other teams do, but he still has to make these throws. He still has to hit Hollywood Brown in stride 50 yards down the field, and he does. I just think the difference year one to year two for Lamar Jackson is a massive, massive factor here. I think he's a lot more comfortable. I think that he worked hard in the offseason on some mechanics. And he also has a big chip on his shoulder. I mean, you saw it after the week one game. Not bad for a running back, you know. I mean, people thought he couldn't play quarterback in this week, and that fuels him. That motivates him. And now I think Baltimore is right behind Kansas City and New England in the AFC. I really like what they're doing and putting together. Tough one this Sunday at Kansas City, we know, but I think Baltimore is going to be in it for the long haul.
Catch all of the action this Sunday, starting with that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Andrew Catalan and the Hall of Famer James Lofton, who has been excellent inside the booth, and the booth has been largely excellent as well, calling Falcons and Colts this weekend. Check it out. Cat, as always, great to catch up, my man. We'll be watching coming up on Sunday. Thanks so much.
All right, DA. Have a good weekend, bud.
You too. Andrew Catalan joining us this morning here on the show. I think that's an interesting question, as he brought up, he thinks the Ravens are right there with the Chiefs and the Patriots. Are the Ravens the second best team in the AFC? You know, with the Steelers losing A.B., Le'Veon Bell, and now Ben Roethlisberger, certainly you can't put the Steelers in that spot right there. The Chargers had an argument, but they have dealt with so many injuries early part of the season that it's hard to put the Chargers at that level as well. I think the Colts were the dark horse of the AFC. People said they were Super Bowl contenders. But once Andrew Luck retired, you can't expect Jacoby Brissett to be that same team. The Cleveland Browns, certainly a year away from being able to compete, in my mind, with the Patriots and the Chiefs. And so where did that leave us? The Jets down to their third-string quarterback. I think it probably, the Houston Texans are an argument there, but the way that they've looked in the first 2 weeks, you can't say that they're right there with the Chiefs and the Patriots either. I think probably it is the Ravens right now as the third best team of the AFC. And personally, I hope that this continues with the Ravens, because I don't want to see in the AFC us just know predictably who's going to play in the AFC championship game. As great as the Patriots and Chiefs would be in another AFC title game, it would be nice to have other teams with other good playoff games not feel like such an inevitability. So, yeah, I would put the Ravens there right now to the third best team of the AFC. But as I mentioned before, I've got to see them beat somebody better than the worst team of the league this year and the worst team of the league last year, the Dolphins and the Cardinals. If that happens this week and the Ravens play the Chiefs, and if the Ravens beat Kansas City, you could absolutely put them on that pedestal. But I don't think we could put them there yet, because if Mahomes, the Chiefs, pull them apart like pulled pork in Kansas City coming up on Sunday, and it's 38-10, can we really put the Ravens at that spot? We'll see. Huge spot for Baltimore. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, I've got a confession to make. It's going to be a DA show confessional, because I realized I had made a mistake. And I am a transparent guy. I try to do a lot of self-analysis so that I'm not just in my own little world, in my own little ego. And coming up next, I promise that I will admit my mistake and take ownership of it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, excuse me, my bad.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
You know what? The Watch DA stream, I'm hooked on it. Such a good product.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, is cooking right now. He is pulling levers, pressing buttons, and making this sparkling Technicolor shine. Watch at watchda.com on any device, anywhere. That could be your tablet, your PC, your desktop, your laptop, your phone, your smart TV. WatchDA.com. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. So, this Patriots team is obviously one of the best in the NFL, if not the best in the NFL. To this point in time, I think they are the best in the NFL. And it's a shame that Antonio Brown is a constant headache in the middle of this, because they didn't need Antonio Brown. They were already one of the best teams in the NFL, and they didn't need this. But this is what you get when you sleep with dogs. The adage is you get fleas. When you roll around with dogs, you get the fleas. And Antonio Brown is once again under scrutiny because apparently he has sent, quote-unquote, threatening text messages to to one of the women who accused him of sexual misconduct. And if you are Antonio Brown, you are in such a good spot. You're not even being forced to talk. You were able to scoot out of that game against Miami last week and catch a touchdown, five passes, and not have to speak to the media. This week, your media availability was like 4 minutes long, and all you had to say was the same old, happy to be here, looking to play football, blah, 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 not give you anything. And in the middle of this, for the Patriots to have given you the soft landing spot, to still be doing idiotic things like sending threatening text messages to the women who have accused you of sexual misconduct with your boys on the text thread, how dumb can you be? How dumb can you be if you are Antonio Brown? You know the scrutiny is on you, and you send text messages which can easily be screenshot, screen captured, text message thread reports, and pull up text records. It's the easiest thing to track. You idiot. What a dunce. And I got to say, the NFL at this point in time should step in and say, okay, enough is enough. Antonio Brown, you are suspended until further notice. Because at this point in time, what are they aiming for here? That all of the Antonio Brown stuff, accusations, lawsuits, etc., just goes away? Is the NFL actively investigating it? Apparently, they're speaking again to this woman now today. What is the end game for the NFL? I realize you don't want to suspend somebody who you don't have good evidence actually committed a crime. If there was a video of him doing these things, you sure well know he would be suspended. I get that point. But at this point, isn't it enough that every day there's another accusation? And now, to me, this is a tipping point, that Antonio Brown, in the middle of this, is also sending threatening text messages. To me, that's the tipping point. Suspend him. Commissioner's exempt list. He should not be playing at this point in time. It's one thing to say innocent until proven guilty. It's another thing to basically turn a blind eye because you don't want to do anything. The Patriots don't need Antonio Brown. They could win a Super Bowl without him. They did last year. They're probably better than they were last year. The commissioner needs to step in on this incident and say, okay, enough is enough. We can't have Antonio Brown being threatening towards potential victims of his own sexual assault in the middle of this season. Can't happen. We can't have him doing this on a Wednesday and then on Sunday going out, balling out, hugging Tom Brady, catching touchdowns, and having the fans embrace him. Can't have that. That is a terrible look that Antonio Brown could be a hero on Sundays, but be sending these types of text messages to potential victims of sexual abuse, sexual assault, sexual misconduct. You can't have that happen on Wednesdays and then him be a hero on Sundays. It is time for the NFL to step in on this incident now and say enough is enough. Until further notice, Antonio Brown is not eligible to play in the 2019 season. 855-212-4-CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. It is time for me to be a bigger man. Yesterday, if you were listening to the show, you heard me perhaps dance around, touch the third rail, perhaps even suggest bodily harm on one Tom Brady. Now, I had considered this maybe just in jest, tongue in cheek, but I realized that for some of you, maybe it was not. And so I'm here to ask for forgiveness because I realized that nobody deserves to have bodily harm wished upon them, even in a joking fashion. Even in a joking fashion, that's not what my intention is here. And so today, on September the 20th, 2019, I ask for forgiveness from St. Tom Brady. If you are watching at watchda.com right now, you have seen the great Billy Giacalone deliver, very respectfully, a candle with Tom Brady on it. It is lit. And Tom is in a Saint costume. Not a New Orleans Saint costume, a cloak, robe. He is pulling apart that robe to show a gleaming, glowing Patriot logo with a halo over his head. And this is now my offering to Patriot Nation. This is my offering to Saint Tom Brady. When I said I hope that Antonio Brown would lay marbles on the steps, the stairwell of his home so that Tom Brady could fall down them, when I suggested that Antonio Brown throw his helmet into the ACL of Tom Brady, when I had joked around again, kind of danced around the third rail of hoping that this weekend Brady busted a thumb like Drew Brees or needed Tommy John like Ben Roethlisberger or something else really violent and terrible and despicable, I want St. Tom to know that that's not my true intention. That was merely a joke that had probably gone too far. So today, I offer my apologies and ask for your forgiveness, because I realize that St. Tom Brady actually does have a hold over all of us. Yesterday, I said some things that probably went a little too far. And last night, I had some of the most horrible, tumultuous, torturous dreams. Usually, the sleep-numbed bed makes me sleep like a baby. I'm telling you, I had like 6 different dreams that were horrifying, twisted, distorted, so dysfunctional I can't even speak about them on the air. And I woke up saying this is because I challenged a saint, because I wished bodily harm on a saint, Saint Tom. So I have the Tom Brady candle lit here in studio, and my prayers go out to him and his family. Hopefully his career will be a successful one. Hopefully this season is a successful one. And if Tom wins his 17 billionth Super Bowl this year, I, for one, will be supportive of that. Because Tom entered my dreams last night, ruined them, made me terrified for my life. It was either that or the pan-fried bluefish I ate that might have been a little old. One of the two. I'm sorry. 29 minutes past the hour. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. We have so much still to go here on this show. I've got my Tasty Top 5 coming up here next. Your top 5 college football games of the weekend and my preview of them. Also, next hour, Mraz has his...
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Mraz is a very healthy, very portly 4-2 this season with his NFL picks. And so he is feeling really good about going undefeated. Now, you got to be honest, Mraz. Last night when you had said there's no way Gardner Minshew throws for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, when he had 2 touchdowns in the first quarter and had nearly 200 yards through the first 3 quarters, you know you were starting to feel a little nervous.
Yeah, I mean, the first one came off a fumble. Gardner Minshew proved who he was, a fraudulent quarterback last night.
So you still have no respect for him?
Well, how could I respect? He basically scored 10 points last night again, basically.
I don't see how that's true, considering...
Did we miss the fumbled punt that set up that first touchdown right there?
I saw that, but that throw doesn't count then?
That's a fake drive.
That's a fake drive.
It's a fake drive. It's as fake as you're acting like you're going to forgive Tom Brady.
I am. I'm a better man today.
Oh, stop it.
Also, yesterday, from third down, from the 22-yard line, he throws a perfect rainbow into Westbrook's fingertips.
He dropped it.
He dropped it. Now, that's not Minshew's fault.
No, that's making up for the fact that he shouldn't have had a first touchdown to begin with. See, it all balances out. He had 2 touchdowns, didn't throw for 300 yards. Should have been able to. Offensive line was doing a good job. Minshew stinks. And you know what? He was home on a short week. You got to do better than that. C'est la vie. Huh.
Yeah, cesspool la vie. All right, maybe next week we'll do another Minshew bet then.
Who do the Jags have next? Hold on. He's got a longer week. We get back to week 5.
So now suddenly you're scared of Minshew
a
long week.
I would think, you know, generally if you have 10 days off to prepare, that gives you a better opportunity.
Okay, so now you're a little nervous that Minshew's going to step up on a long week.
I think it's Denver.
Oh, so I'll you take might, that bet.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll take that bet.
Okay, so would you be willing to go 275 and two touchdowns?
No. If you want to get into the 200, you got to give me three touchdowns. So you take what you want to take. You want the yardage or you want the touchdowns?
250 and three. 250
and three
defense.
Touchdowns.
I would take 250 and three.
I'd have to think about this. 250 and three or 302. I'd have to think about this.
Because we could have had 250 last night.
Yes.
Remember, it was D.D. Westbrook that dropped
yes.
that touchdown
Yeah, Bogus,
pass?
Thanks for paying attention to 2 minutes ago when we just talked about that.
Correct.
I'm sorry. I actually work when I'm here. I don't get to sit back there and have snacks all day long listening to a radio show. My fault.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you worked when you brought in a slanted sign. It seemed like you were just turning this place into a circus today. But okay.
You loved the sign yesterday.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Speaking of the devil, we was just talking about the DA show. I mean, he looks like somebody that's going to steal your tax money. He looks like a white-collar criminal. You can never trust a dude with good hair like that with two buttons down.
Two buttons down is the telltale sign?
Yeah, one, two, yeah, you can almost see a sternum.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, well, thanks for noticing, Bart. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader first. Mahomes and the Chiefs open up their home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Then Bridgewater and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. A full day of football starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
PGP is out, everybody. And this week, we go inside Meraz's Bob's Bar Blockbuster. Last weekend, Meraz's dad, Bob the Deli Man, a legend in the deli business, hired his own band to play at his outdoor backyard bar. And Meraz claimed there were nearly 100 people, most of them strangers, in his backyard partying last Friday night. Inside the mayhem of Bob's Bar summer finale, as well as a side B that includes Dixieland Dan and some redneck goodness, where there's bounce houses and sausages and lots of kids and adopting twins and a lot of everything. Plus, Dixieland Dan turned the tables on Meraz, little Q&A, and we also address the affiliate situation that has kind of been swirling around the DA show for the last couple of weeks. That's this week's PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. And one can only hope that it's more interesting than Jacob Wilkins last week. My goodness. What has happened? The once hysterical voice of the wienership of the Chicken Challenge now has been stripped of all of his personality. He might be a very dependable, very diplomatic and professional play-by-play man at the AA baseball level, but my goodness, is he not interesting.
All right.
And something happened. There was a turning point in that Vegas winter meetings phone call. And we thought maybe he was distracted. Maybe he just wasn't on his game. The fact is, since the worst segment in DA show history, which is now nearing, what, 9 months ago? 10 months ago? Jacob is the most boring man in the world. And he seems to be very serviceable as a play-by-play man. He could not be more boring.
I'm sure I'll have a multitude of different ideas.
Baseball winter meetings, the extreme Jakeover, the first appearance on the PGP about getting the Binghamton Rumble Ponies job, and now the season recap of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies job. I'm serious. There's no meat of the bone. We like to say around here, is there meat on the bone? That means there's something interesting from the person, the guest, the story. He's got no meat.
A lot of nice weather.
No meat. And I don't know if now he's trying to position himself as simply, I'm the stiff upper lip play-by-play guy. But I mean, he was once upon a time one of the funniest guys here on the show. And in the galaxy of stars of the DA show, he had risen to the top of his profession, calling Meraz, taking out chicken nuggets out of his bandana. Is Meraz going to survive? He once had a Mike Socia, Jerry DePoto joke in the middle of a chicken challenge. He's got nothing now.
Here in the top bottom of the fifth.
Nothing. Mraz, you tried to make chicken salad out of chicken feathers, and it just remained chicken feathers.
Yeah, and if you're wondering what the craziest thing Jacob Wilkins ate on the road is, I have no idea. A Kit Kat.
Didn't answer.
Five.
Really didn't answer. It's such a shame. So, maybe skip last week's PGP side B, just get to this week's side B of the
PGP.
Well,
you still want people to listen. I do a good job with that.
Five.
It was a tough lesson. He gave you nothing.
You know,
there was no meat on the bone.
I agree with that. However, again, this comes back to me months ago missing a side B and you saying there's always somebody to talk to. And now I'm finding people to talk to when other people are not available. Instead of sitting down and dying, I'm trying something. And now here we go. Now you're gonna criticize side B and tell people not to listen.
I'm not criticizing you per se. I'm criticizing the subject of side B. Total snooze fest. Bore fest.
I was entertaining.
Well, it's early in the day.
Let's get to the Tasty Top 5!
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the Tasty Top 5.
I'm tasty.
I've been pumping up the best group of five team we've seen in a long time. I've been pumping up a team that last week thoroughly dismantled a Pac-12 squad on their home field. So this week, number five includes
number five.
Number 15, UCF. The Knights just hammered Stanford last week, and now they travel to Pitt on the road, a Power 5 program. Do you realize UCF is favored by 11 points in this game? They're favored by 11 points on the road against Pitt. Dylan Gabriel is the real deal. He showed that last week against the Cardinal. UCF is averaging 51 points per game. Pat Narduzzi, after a ridiculous reasoning rationale behind trying to kick the field goal down 7, his team has averaged 14 points per game. This is a mismatch advantage Knights. This is 3:30 on ESPN2. Eastern time on Saturday, and I'm sorry, you watch UCF go there and drop 30 to 40 points, and you'll realize that team deserves conversation for the college football playoff. They won't get in there until we have an expanded one, but UCF is a victim of their own schedule because power teams are just not going to want to play them at all.
Number four.
In the Pac-12, it's tonight. Your number four tastiest matchup of the weekend is tonight on FS1 at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Number 10, Utah. This is by far the best team right now in the Pac-12. And they go to USC. Do you realize Utah has not won at USC since 1916? You've got to go back to before the Coliseum. You've got to go back to Fiesta Park when Utah won at USC. You've got to go back to before USC was named after condoms, to when they were actually the Methodists. This is before they were actually Trojans. So I know this blows Mraz's mind, the etymology of the nickname here, but Utah number 10 at USC. Watch for the Utes. They should steamroll USC. They're only a 3.5-point favorite in this game. I think Utah wins handily tonight with all the change swirling around USC. Clay Helton, hot seat, Lynn Swann out. I like Utah easy tonight.
Number three.
You know, this should be the best game of the weekend because it's two top 10 matchups, two top 10 teams, but I don't think it's going to be a very good game. Number three, Notre Dame and Georgia. I just don't have any faith that the Irish can go to between the hedges in Athens and come out with a win. No faith whatsoever. I keep banging this down, but it's worth banging. They've lost their last 10 matchups against top five teams. They've lost 17 of their last 18 matchups against top five teams. Notre Dame cannot hang with the very best of college football. They don't have the talent. They don't have the talent. They just don't have the type of team, the personnel that elite competition like Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Clemson, in this case, Georgia, bring to the table. They can't do it. So I like Georgia easily. The Bulldogs are 14.5-point favorite to this one. That's 8 p.m. on CBS.
Number two.
Big Ten matchup. What happened to the Michigan Wolverines offense? Because after the embarrassment against Army, they nearly lost to Army. They probably should have lost to Army at home of the Big House. And this is not a slam on Army because I love what Coach Munkin has done with that program. You know me. I'm a Hudson Valley kid. And so to see the Knights of the Hudson do what they do and win 10 games last year and go to Ann Arbor and nearly pull off a win, I'm so proud of those guys, proud of the cadets, proud of Coach Munkin and that staff. But there's no reason Michigan, with their amount of talent and five-star recruits, should ever be locked in an overtime battle against Army at home. And they've got to go to Wisconsin Camp Randall, where the Badgers and Jonathan Taylor stand waiting at a 3.5-point favorite in this one. Shea Patterson and that offense, they don't have many more excuses they can make. Why can't Michigan get out of its own way offensively? Why do they seem like they just are stuck in neutral? And is Jim Harbaugh going to win big games? This is one of those. It's not on your side of the Big Ten, but you got to win these games. You have to. If this is Michigan's year, this is the game you win. This one is noon Eastern on Fox on Saturday.
Number one.
Best game of the weekend in my mind happens in College Station. Dixie Chicken and folks. Number 8, Auburn at number 17, A&M. A&M's a 3.5-point favorite of this one, even though A&M got beat by Clemson, and Auburn has that really good win over Oregon earlier in the season. This is the 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. I love this matchup because this is a true freshman in Bo Nix coming in with Auburn. True freshman at quarterback coming in with Auburn to A&M, which is a brutal place to play for just about everybody. And for A&M, these are the signature wins that Jimbo Fisher is paid to win. He gets that massive contract last year to win games like this. You're at home. You have the quarterback advantage. Kellen Mond has been in big games. Kellen Mond has been around the block. Kellen Mond of that team, they've got a really good squad, but they need to be better than they have been. For A&M, historically speaking, if this is going to validate the Jimbo Fisher hire, you're at home. You've got a freshman quarterback coming in. And the rest of your schedule is absolutely nightmarish. You've still got Alabama coming up. You've still got at Georgia later on in the season. You've got at LSU later on in the season. Man, if it's going to be a couple of wins that are signature wins, it's got to start tomorrow against Auburn, which would give him a top 10 victory at home and give Jimbo that signature victory. And that's your tasty top five games of the college football weekend. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, who had more meat on the bone the last 2 weeks, Jacob or me? Oh, that's not a fair fight. It really isn't. Because Jacob gave you nothing. He gave you absolutely nothing. So it's going to be Dixieland Dan in a knockout. I mean, maybe a second round knockout. Because Jacob was barely moving his feet, barely shuffling his feet, just no juice, no energy, no sense of humor. And it's scary to me. It's like somebody soaked all of the personality and humor out of Jacob Wilkins. It's quite frightening. And I don't know what happened, but I will say I won't rest until we find out the reason behind this. But side B of the PGP was devastating, I would say.
CBS.
Devastating. Hey, a little programming note. I just want to say, if you listened to the PGP last week, you heard me and Mraz talk about how much we missed Pete the Body Bilotti being in here. The drops, the music, the genius that he brings to the table has never been more apparent than it has been this week. And it has been so good to have him back. Pete the Body Bilotti's been dealing with some stuff behind the scenes that we love him very much for. He knows we love him. He knows we support him. But we know you guys also on the show are the same way. So I know that you guys have reached out and said the show is just back and alive and brilliant and everything. And it's because this dude is back with us, and it is so good to have him back. So, Pete, thanks so much for being back, brother. It has been awesome to have you back. And we're right there behind you, and I know the D'Aliens are as well, and the show is not the same without you. One of the reasons I love coming to work every day is because I really feel like I work with the best in the business, save for Mraz. I get to work with Pete the Body Bilotti, who is a wizard on that board, Andrew Kaplan, who is a wizard at WatchDA.com, Bogus, who is the best update guy, perhaps in America, certainly here on the network. It is so good to be around good people, smart people, talented people, and we are a family here. And what Pete has been able to deal with and deal with professionally and amazingly has been awesome to watch, and we're there for him. We know the D'Aliens are as well, and this show is not the same without you. So I know the D'Aliens feel the same exact way, and we are right here behind you, brother. When we come back here on the show, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. These two guys were 1 and 2 in the 2015 NFL draft. And you fast forward to season number 5, especially after Mariota last night. Are both of them bums? Can you count on either one of them being a franchise guy? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.